Good morning. Continuing our series on regarding who is God, learning to see God as He wants us to see Him. We're going to talk about God being slow to anger. My wife was relieved that we weren't talking about her being slow to anger. And I said, we will get there. A man's car stalled in the heavy traffic. Light turned green. And all his efforts to start his vehicle had failed. And of course, a honking ensued behind him. And it only made matters worse. So he finally got out of his car and he walked back to the first driver and he says, I'm sorry, I cannot seem to get my car started. Now if you'll go up there and give it a try, I'll sit back here and honk your horn while you... You hear about the teacher who's helping one of her kindergarten's students put his boots on. He asked for help and she could see why. With her pulling and him pushing, the boots just didn't want to go on. By the time the second boot was on, she had worked up quite a sweat. She almost whimpered when the little boy said, Teacher, they're on the wrong feet. She looked, and sure enough they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots back off than it was putting them on to begin with, but she managed to keep her cool together. And as they worked together to get the boots back on, but this time on the right feet, then he announced, These aren't my boots. She bit her tongue rather than get right in his face and scream, why didn't you say so, like she wanted to. And so once again, they struggled to get the ill-fitting boots off, and he said, they're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them. Now, she didn't know if she should laugh or cry, so she mustered up the grace to wrestle the boots back on his feet again. And she said, now, where are your mittens? He said, I stuffed them in the toes of my boots. And as we press on forward in growth to clearly see and understand God, we want to consider what it is for God to be slow to anger. We might refer to it as patience, maybe long-suffering perhaps, perhaps just simply a restraining of wrath. As we go through some of these passages, you'll see how that's connected in the nature of our God. We're going to look at the motivation for God's patience, but as we look at God's patience, I want us to understand that He is slow to anger, He is long-suffering towards us, but He's not indifferent. He's not indifferent. And we're going to look at His motivation for patience, and we're going to see the blessing of God's patience that it is for us. There we go. As we begin talking about the characteristic of God's patience, we're going to notice David's observation here that he gives us in Psalms 86, verses 14 and 15. He says, O God, in his prayer, he says, arrogant men have risen up against me, and a band of violent men have sought my life, and they have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious. You are slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Eight times I find in the Old Testament that either God refers to himself in these exact terms or the writer refers in a description of God. And in this time, it was a prayer of David telling God as he's praying to God that you, Lord, are slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. God wants us to know this about him, that he is slow to anger. Now, as we look at this passage, and as David observed, it is telling of the nature of these men that were seeking to inflict evil upon the person of David. He recognizes who they are, and he describes them here in our text as men who have not considered the nearness of God in their lives, and there is no fear of God, nor is there respect for the holiness of God. Now, we know God as omniscient, right? We know God to be all-knowing. We know Him to be omnipotent. That means that He is all powerful. And we also know God to be omnipresent. That He is ever present in our lives. He is always calling into account our motives and our deeds, as well as the motives and deeds of all of His creation. And yet, there are those in our world who deem their power, who deem their presence on this earth more important than another poor soul around them. And so they become arrogant in their ignorance and violent to their own demise. And David cries out to God. He says, there's a band of violent men and they're seeking my life because they have not set you before them. They have not taken note of God. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 2 that this description that David has given of these violent men was the description of you and I without Jesus. Our reality without Jesus. As Gentiles, we were people without identity. We were people without purpose, without God, and without hope in this world. But when the Messiah entered our realm, He brought purpose. He brought identity and He brought hope. Are we thankful for that this morning? He brought us a reason to be here, a reason to serve, a reason to worship. But it is in the humbling of our nature in obedience to the Lord that our spiritual blinders are removed to be able to behold the wonders of God. These individuals that David was talking about had their blinders on and they were so obsessed with themselves that they could not see the patience of our God. God wants us to notice Him. He wants us to see that He is good, that He created us as individuals to be good, to be compassionate, to be full of mercy. That was His intention in creating us. And we tend to become self-absorbed, don't we? To where we become obsessed with who we are. But as we become to understand and see God for who He is, we begin to identify with the understanding that He alone is our source of spiritual goodness. No matter how good we try to accomplish in and of ourselves, it does no good. Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God made Him who had no sin to do what? Be sin for us. So that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. We have hope, right? We have hope to become. We have hope to be because of Jesus. It is the imputed righteousness of Christ that we begin to grasp what it means to partake in that divine nature. And in light of this, when we see the atrocities reported around us that man is inflicting on man, when authority around us seems to take on tyranny, we need to be mindful of Christ. We need to be mindful that He is our lens to see the world through. He is our mind to ruminate our responses to our fellow man. God is our maker, and it is His character that we long to understand and we long to imitate in our own personal lives. Are you with me? God begins to describe Himself to us in Scripture. There it is. Exodus chapter 34. We mentioned these a couple weeks ago when we talked about Moses seeing the goodness of God. But I wanted to bring us back to that story because it is so descriptive of what we're talking about this morning. The Lord was passing by Moses at that time there on the mountain, and He proclaimed to Moses, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. Who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, He forgives transgression and sin. And we said, thank you, Lord. Yet He will, this is a reminder to us, He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. He will visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the grandchildren to the third and the fourth generations. God presents Himself to Moses here, and God begins listing off the characteristics to us that define who He is. And in the midst of those, He wants us to take note of why people continue to live on this planet. Why He has not just purged us off of this planet. Now there is, and he mentions that in verse number 7, there is an end to the patience of God. And I believe that God wants us to stop and take note of that. He will not be mocked. You are going to reap what you sow. Okay? There is punishment that is there if you reject His offering of grace, His offering of peace that He's given to us. But in the meantime, as God holds back on His patient retribution upon sin, in the meantime, there's time given for us to act, to react, and to change to the likeness of God. God is giving us time. He is slow to anger. Now, this word anger in the Hebrew refers to the nostrils. And incidentally, the word slow means long. So if you think about it, we're not, as we say that God is slow to anger, we're not necessarily just saying that God has a long nose, okay, or elongated nostrils, but rather the Hebrew is a very picturesque language. And we, in our infinite wisdom in the English language, have tried really hard to come up with a picture so that we could describe this nature of being long in the nose, if you will. And we have called it an emoji. A blowing out steam. This is the picture for us to understand that our God is choosing patience over anger, over wrath, if you will, with us. God chooses patience. And we're going to see why He does that. Why would God choose patience? Why wouldn't He choose wrath upon us as mankind? I mean, after all, we murdered His Son. But you understand that when we did that to Jesus, we sent a message to God that we needed help. And so in the death of His Son, He gave us the help that we needed. But understand, there is still a retribution for murdering His Son. We have the opportunity of life if we choose His Son. But if you continue to stand in opposition to God, then you reap the punishment for ultimately the crucifixion of Christ. What put Him on that tree? Our sin. Our sin. And there is an end to the patience of God. But why is God patient? He's patient with us because we cannot endure the wrath of God. He chooses patience. Look at this. Nahum recorded it for us. In Nahum chapter 1 verse 6. Who can withstand the indignation of God? Who can endure His fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire and the rocks are shattered before Him. Now we build some pretty impressive equipment in this world that can break rocks. And we know the force that it takes to pulverize rock into a manageable gravel that we like to drive on. But Nahum says, look, the rocks are shattered before our Lord. That just gives us a physical picture of the power of the wrath of God. Now Nahum also goes on to write in verse number 2 that God reserves His wrath for His enemies. For those who refuse to follow God. For those who oppose God. So, my admonition to us this morning is if you enjoy the patience and the long-suffering of God, follow Him. Be a worker on His side because the end is worth it. Don't oppose God because you see what happens. There is something incredible when you start talking about the idea of God being slow to anger. There's something incredible that happened in history. And I love this section of Scripture. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 10, Moses is on the mountain, and as he delays, let me back up. There's a day in history when God's mind was changed in regards to exhibiting His wrath upon His creation. And as I present this to you, I want you to understand that I don't believe that the emotion of anger is something that God necessarily enjoys. And it seems that he steels himself to respond that way, for when the anger runs its course, the wrath of God is ensued. And that's why I believe that we find in Scripture that God disciplines us out of his goodness and not out of anger. Because if he disciplined us out of anger, we couldn't handle it. Because the anger of God is so potent. Discipline is for our benefit. May not feel like it, but it is. The wrath of God is for destruction. It's for destruction. But when the buttons are all pushed, God's patience comes to an end. And you find that in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 10. As God is observing the nation of Israel, rejecting everything that he stands for, because it got impatient because Moses was on the mountain too long. And they started worshiping a calf. And God saw what they were doing, and he tells Moses on the mountain, he says, "Leave me alone, so my anger may burn against them, and I may destroy them. Then I want to make another great nation out of you, Moses, because you're here with me, and you get what I'm doing." But they're so quick to turn away from me. Impatience in man's nature so many times supersedes the intentions of God. This nation had become impatient waiting on Moses to come off the mountain, and instead of waiting on God, they replaced God. They violated rule number 1 and 2 of the Ten Commandments. They made a calf out of gold rings, and they were worshiping it and proclaiming it to be the God of deliverance. What an insult when God hears that. He's up there giving the final blessings and the ordinances to Moses there on the mountain to help and shape them as a nation and bless them and bring them in as his special people, and they're down there rejecting him before he even gets started. What an insult. You can understand why God's breathing out steam. Because he's really justified in his anger at this stage. And yet, his nature wanted to grant them goodness. He wanted to give them another chance. Because you find in the story that he was still open to the entreaty of another saint, of another faithful one. You see, as you read the story, Moses entreated the Lord his God on the behalf of a lost people. He pleaded with God to look past their sin and see the promises that God had previously made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Israel, and not pull the plug on this whole idea of blessing. And he pleads with God in Exodus 32 verse 14. And the Lord listened. It says the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster that he had threatened. I want us to see how serious God is about his patience towards us. You see, sometimes we can look at God as somebody quick to pull the plug, quick to punish. I want us to see how seriously God considers the patience that he's given us. Don't question how much time God has given you to change. He is telling us, "I'm giving you plenty of time. And I'm serious about the time that I'm giving you." Are we serious about the patience that God is extending to us? Are we taking advantage of the time that he is giving us? God is serious about his patience towards us. And I believe that as you look at this story in Exodus chapter 32 and you see how quickly God was relenting on his destruction of the people, and he listened to Moses, I believe in the power of prayer. And I want to challenge us this morning that we would be a people that would fall on our knees quickly to intercede for the judgment of this world. Are we praying for revival? Are we praying for peace? Are we praying for God to intervene for the good of us all? Why is God patient with us? Psalms 103. Why is God patient with us? The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. The first thing that we see here, God is patient because God desires mercy. God loves to be merciful to us. He loves for us to come back to the reality of who He is and where we need to be in our relationship with Him. And I love how the psalmist says here, He does not treat us or repay us to the level of our iniquities. Scripture reminds us that the wages of sin is what? But it is the great nature of God, and it's the gift of God that gives us second chances. God is patient because He loves and desires mercy for you. Don't push it. Respond to it. Respond to it. In His mercy, God removes the eternal consequences of our sin, extending pardon instead of justice to us. He's not repaid us according to our iniquities. Are we thankful? Why else is God patient with us? Number two, God is patient because He is a God of grace. Psalms 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. I love the passage in Isaiah 43, 25 that reminds us that God says this, I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sin. You see, God knows what His wrath does. He knows His power, and He says, you know what? I'm going to remove your sin for my own sake, not even think about it anymore, because I want to focus on mercy, I want to focus on grace, and I want to be patient towards you. The eternal stain of our sin remains as evidence of our failures. However, when the mercy of God removes those consequences, He removes the stains as well. You see, I believe that total innocence can be found in God. That's grace. Once the stain is gone, favor can be regained with God. God's patient with us because He's a God of grace. Amen? God is patient because He knows what we are made of. As Father has compassion on His children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are but dust. When our children were little, we understood that there was so much more for them to learn. So the rebellions, the disobedience, the irritations that we receive from them, we actually give those to God. You see, as a father, I knew that there was more that my kids needed to learn. God knows that there's more that I need to learn. And so the irritations that I would give to God are but for a moment. You see, His loving kindness is forever. He says, I want to shape you and I want to mold you. And He puts up with a lot of nonsense from us so that we would get to the point that we would understand that He is a loving Father. He's patient because He knows what we're made of. And He knows that we cannot endure His anger. And so He shapes us and He molds us. So you see, God's plan is ultimately desirous of our success. Do we believe that? God wants us to succeed. He wants us to be His people. He wants us to be pure people, holy unto Him. He knows our weaknesses, but He also knows what we can achieve through Him. And therefore, He is patient with us. He's waiting on us to grow up, folks. He's waiting on us to grow up. Maturity is a thing that God is serious about. God is patient also because He desires the most to be saved. As many as possible to be saved. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. You see, God has extended His patience out. He's allowed us to grow in Him and to speak of His goodness to the next generations, to proclaim His goodness to those coming behind us. It is the testimony of the generation before that solidifies the message of God. Are we remembering to obey the word of the Lord ourselves? Are we sharing the testimony of God with those behind us, to the next generations behind us? Did we learn from the generation in front of us? God is coming, or Jesus is coming again, amen? And there will be an end. Judgment is coming. But for now, we are enjoying a period of grace. It is a time to repent. There's a time to renew. And there's a time to refocus us and redirect the next generations behind us. That is our business, folks, as Christians, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those behind us. Our children, our grandchildren, maybe our great-grandchildren, if we're blessed with that time. Are we taking it seriously? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord's not slow in keeping His promise." As some of you understand slowness, He hasn't forgot that He's coming back. If you look at that text, He hasn't forgot. He is patient with you. And He's not wanting anyone to perish. You like that about God? He doesn't want anyone to perish, but He wants everyone to come to repentance. I want you to understand something in this passage, though. He is patient with who? Us in this room. Sometimes we read that and we say, oh, God is patient with the whole world because He wants to save everybody in the world. No, He's patient with us. Because He wants us as Christians to get busy about His work. To start speaking to the generations behind us of His greatness. To share the testimony of His goodness to us. What are we doing? What did we do with our snow days? Did we speak of the goodness of God with others? Did we share the testimonies of our Lord? He doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to a knowledge of who He is. So it's time to reflect. As with all the attributes of God, as we learn of them and begin to see God in a clearer focus, He begins to ask for a response from us. A learning among us to be slow to anger, to be patient with others, to look past the irritations and see where they could become in Jesus. As I contemplated how to bring this sermon to a personal challenge, I could tell you this morning that you need to calm down. I could tell you that y'all need to just not take yourselves so seriously. I could tell you that you need to learn that a personal affront may not be as personal as you think it is. I could tell you a lot of things. I could mention in Scripture the sons of thunder in their self-righteous views of others. You remember them, James and John? How they wanted to keep others from serving God just because they didn't know who they were in Luke chapter 9. I could talk to you also about the sons of thunder as well, of the time when they wanted to call down fire from heaven on the heads of the Samaritans without taking note of the historical tension between the Jew and the Samaritans, again in Luke chapter 9. And then I could ask you the question, do we ever need to learn patience because we don't always know the whole story of why people are acting the way they do? Or I could mention Jonah. Remember him? How that he really wanted to see Nineveh blown up. And he really became angry with God because God was slow to anger and abounding in goodness. And I could ask you the question, do we ever desire justice for a wrong done? And when God extends mercy, and we didn't want mercy extended to them, we wanted judgment given to them. I could mention those. But without mentioning those stories in Scripture, I decided instead to close out with two Proverbs. They have a common theme. Proverbs 14:29 tells us that he who is slow to anger has great understanding. But he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. But then we have Proverbs 19:11 that says a man's discretion makes him slow to anger. Solomon in his wisdom here is taking us on a circle. You see, when we exhibit a slowness to anger, we show that we are maturing in our understanding, and I believe that we are growing in our understanding of God when we become slow to anger. Then he tells us in 19:11 that it is our understanding that makes us slow to anger. You see how they work off of each other. So with the wisdom of Solomon and the nature of Christ displayed before us today, let's pursue a deeper and a fuller understanding of God's patience towards us who believe, and may the Lord grant us wisdom to understand the patience that we need to have towards others. You see, patience is evidence of the Holy Spirit within us. Amen? Galatians 5:22 tells us that. It is a byproduct of the Spirit of God. So my admonition to us this morning is that let us allow patience to be God's evidence within us to the world without. Be slow to anger. Slow to anger. I picked a song in number 394 in your books if you want to look at it, but it says, "In my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified." It's a very simple song, and it repeats itself over and over again, but I want you to think about it, because the song is actually a prayer. In my life, Lord, be glorified. In my church, Lord, be glorified. As we interact with each other at home, in the church, at work, and at play, wherever it might be, let this be your prayer to understand that God is patient with us. Therefore, let us work harder at allowing His patience to become part of us, and the way that we interact with others to be a glorification of what God has extended to us. He's given us patience. He's given us a period of grace. Take hold of that time of grace and be as graceful as you can be. I know that sounded corny, but it's true. It's true. Let's stand together as we sing this song.